of the Hour News. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens. Local, regional, and global. Only on Q95, the big station. Q95DA.com. Right on cue.
Good morning. This is the morning news for today, Thursday, July 29th, 2021. I'm your presenter, Hassan Robinson. Here are the headlines. A bus driver, Ezrom George, is seeking financially to pay his legal fees after he was allegedly brutally abused by some police officers in Dominica at a peaceful bus driver's protest. Local. Montserrat Premier Joseph Farrell says while they could not give a timeline for an intervention, the process was well underway after a recent actuary review concluded that the funds could be exhausted by 2025. They're talking about Social Security. And the UK Health Secretary has countered the notions that the pandemic is over, but says that COVID-19 tests will not be compulsory upon returning to the UK after August 16th. The news is brought to you for the very kind compliments of Margaret Cooperative Credit Union Limited and Digicel. The details of these stories and more coming up next.
The Big Station, Q95DA.com. Right on cue.
Elevated Entertainment presents 90s Baby Fest. 90s Baby Fest. Saturday, 21st July 2021. All your favorite hits. All the music from the 90s. Featuring some of Dominica's best. Music juggling by DJ Snow. Major Mystic. Unstoppable DJs. Slim and Chance. The Signal. The Young and the Buddhist.
We taking this
Signal back. Time 10:30 p.m. Early bird tickets are only $40. VIP $70. Regular at the gate $55. And VIP $85. It's the 90s Baby's Fest. All happening at Classified Nightclub this Saturday, 31st July 2021. Call 615-310 for more details. Purchase tickets at Big Edge or Mania 7-Eleven. The 90s Baby's Fest is on this weekend at Classified Nightclub. It's gonna be crazy.
We all want to know that our money is safe. Well, not only your money, but your financial future is in safe hands at the Marigot Cooperative Credit Union, serving the entire North with the friendliest, easy cash facility, payday loans, convenient checking accounts, secure night safe deposit. Members of the MCCU are now enjoying competitive loans, the members' retirement savings plan, membership capital, and the joy of watching your savings grow at the Marigot Cooperative Credit Union. Friendly support, trusted service, helpful staff approvals. Join the MCCU today and enjoy the growing advantage and convenience of the community-friendly Marigot Cooperative Credit Union business. Call 445-7155 or 445-7166 or email mccu@cwdom.dm. Invest well, save regularly, and watch your money grow at the Marigot Cooperative Credit Union.
And welcome back. Bus driver Ezrom George is calling on his fellow villagers and bus drivers to assist him financially in paying off his legal fees after he was allegedly brutally abused by some police officers in Dominica at a peaceful bus driver's protest. He made the appeal on QFM radio on Wednesday as the bus driver's protest occurred on April 12, 2021. Shortly thereafter, George revealed his decision to file a lawsuit against the police due to their use of excessive force against his person. However, on July 15, 2021, in an almost dramatic fashion, the officer who was allegedly seen manhandling Ezrom George filed four charges against George to include assault, battery, obstruction of justice, and resisting arrest. According to the police complaint, he claims that on April 12, 2021, at Canefield, George committed the aforementioned offences against Malcolm Williams, a member of the Dominica Police Service, whilst in the execution of his duty. However, video evidence is said to show otherwise, and the judge is set to appear before the Magistrate Court on July 30th, 2021.
Girl there, and let me tell you, up to last night, when she hear her mother talking about the court business, she said, Daddy, don't go now for them police to beat you. You know, so I just want to make the appeal to the community that to assist me in some legal fees. You know, that's what I come there for, to ask them for some help in the legal fee, because I'm not only fighting it for myself, I'm fighting it for the whole community, for the whole world, because police brutality is not easy. To see you not wrong and you know you're doing your best to abide by the law and police just beating you like that, and even though it's not me, but somebody else it could happen to. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying my best to make sure that it won't happen again, where everybody will respect everybody on this earth, because everybody's equal. Mm-hmm. That doesn't because you have a suit on you or you have, no matter what you are, but everybody's equal in the eyes of the Lord. But it's just man that trying to make it as if like we're different from each other.
And that was a bus driver, Ezra George. And Rosa North MP Daniel Lugie recalls the hesitancy of the Skerrit administration to financially assist businesses and workers with stimulus checks at a time when many countries took the initiative to significantly reduce the financial fallout in the economy caused by the COVID-19 pandemic in March 2020. Lugie says the opposition will not be silenced in representing the plight of the citizenry and cautions the Skerrit administration to cease its micromanaging of the economy and of independent institutions.
Why are our vendors and bus drivers shortchanged? Why do we have our people in a begging mindset when we went to Parliament to enshrine regulations after COVID-19 pandemic hit us? We are disadvantaged persons who were instructed by the authority to close or to only permit one passenger to a row of seats on a bus. So it's not a favor. I say it's not a favor. It's a right, and government must pay. And so it is written in our COVID-19 regulations. And with all due respect, no one should attempt to muzzle the opposition. Yes, in a democracy, the government majority has its way, but the opposition must have its say. Opposition cannot be silenced when exposing the inconvenient truth. We must speak unhindered, unafraid, undisturbed. That's our solemn duty.
And that was Rosa North MP Daniel Lugie. And in the intervening years since our independence in 1978, we have overcome many struggles and challenges by the grace of God. This from Dominica's president, Charles Angelo Savra, speaking at Wednesday's 2021-2022 national budget presentation in Parliament.
It is therefore with an extraordinary awareness of our political history in the region and a sense of loss for us here in this honorable house and in Dominica that I address this august body on this most noteworthy occasion. Mr. Speaker, in the intervening years since our independence in 1978, we have overcome many struggles, challenges, and difficulties along the way. These experiences, followed by miraculous rebound, accentuate the fact that we are truly God's children and the sheep of his pasture. We therefore need to thank God for constantly coming to our rescue in our darkest hours.
And that was Dominica's president, Charles Angelo Savra. And Finance Minister Roosevelt Skerrit stated during his address on a proposed $993.6 million national budget that the projected growth for 2021-2022 is approximately $253.3 million to be funded by the CBI program. Mr. Skerrit listed a number of projects to be undertaken, inclusive of an international airport, which he says will be of great significance to our people. He also says, according to statistics, Dominica's economic growth is expected to see increases of 8% by 2022. He then broke down some of the allocations of the $993.6 million budget and says that the youth and elderly are a serious focus for the government. We apologize for the lack of clips in this particular story, but follow through with us on the 12 p.m. midday package to get more information on that. as well as this morning's Hot Seat program. Also in local news, a coming together in a collaborative effort creating a functional cooperation amongst our indigenous banks will see great benefits for our regional economy. That's the view expressed by Governor of the ECCB, Timothy N.J. Antoine, speaking on solutions to some of the challenges being faced amongst our banks during this pandemic. He says this collaboration spreads the costs and lower the risks while improving the services.
And I believe that solution will lie in a cooperation, functional cooperation. That is, in fact, the model that they did with the credit card, Four Seas, Caribbean Credit Card Corporation. That is a coming together by indigenous banks to be able to provide credit card services. And that was done, at least 20, maybe more than 20 years now, that coming together took place. We are also working with our indigenous banks on creating a shared services platform for risk and compliance, and then there are other areas. So the answer, I believe, lies in the working together of indigenous banks, because they spread the costs, they lower the risks, they spread the costs, lower the costs, and they also are able to improve the services to customers.
And that was the governor of the ECCB, Timothy N.J. Antoine. Also in local news, the retirement age benefits for our people in Dominica needs serious adjustments. That's according to General Secretary of the Dominica Public Service Union, or DPSU, Thomas Leiter, speaking on last evening's DPSU program. Mr. Thomas Leiter says there needs to be a more collective unity in these types of issues and discussions as they affect every one of us.
When you retire at 60, and I'm referring especially to the non-established people, plus those working in the private sector. When you retire at 60, you have to wait until you are 65, or you have to take the reduced pension. And the thing about the reduced pension is that it remains so for life.
For life. It doesn't even change when you get to 65.
It doesn't even change when you get to 65. To say, okay, you have gotten to 65,
right?
So you're not going to get the current thing.
Yes, exactly.
Right. It is not like that. So it is something that we have to work on. But Brother Steve, what strikes me very, very much is that when discussions are being held on those issues, people do not come forward to hear.
Yeah, that's it.
I remember when the Social Security people were going around, and they even used our headquarters as a venue for conducting their education program.
Yes, yes.
And the hall was empty.
Empty, people don't come to these things.
People do not come to listen to those things. And there is a deepened silence on those who are even affected. So you see people, you see people are retiring. And it's like they just accept it.
Yeah.
And but let's see if I say every day, how has our people become?
And that was the DPSU General Secretary Thomas Slater. Meantime, President of the DPSU Steve Joseph says very few people are now pursuing public sector type employment, and those who are part of the public sector who feel that they may need to leave work before pension age should be given the option of an early leave if they are deserving of it.
And very few people now are pursuing public sector type employment, full-time careers. You have young people who are graduating, gain some experience, and they want to move on. Those who choose to remain in the public service, I'm sure, will want to enjoy the same benefits. Once they have the strength, they have the faculties, they have the health, they would want to work as long as their body allow it. The question I want to pose is, should there be some option? Should it be optional that if someone wants to leave earlier, that based on certain circumstances that they can apply, but that they are not penalized, that they have to accept a reduced pension? I think that is a fundamental question. So question, there are people who might feel, listen, I cannot go up to 68. My body doesn't allow it. You get a medical assessment and you make an application. Should the law then take that into consideration and say, okay, you can retire earlier on these grounds and you will not be penalized? Because this is what you pay 30 and 35 years of that contributory and pension. So I think it's a broad conversation. There are arguments on all sides, but I'm happy we're starting the conversation, and we can hear from young people, we can hear from employers, and all the parties and stakeholders who will be affected.
And that was the president of the DPSU, Steve Joseph. And on July 25th of 2021, the West Coast Cooperative Credit Union held its 16th annual general meeting at the Salisbury Primary School in the community of Salisbury. The board of directors, through their chairman, announced its historic 10% dividend on the shares for the first time in society's history. Members welcomed the news with great excitement and expressed renewed confidence in the society. In delivering the board of directors' report, the president of the society, Mr. David Fritz, indicated that 2020 was a pivotal year for the credit union, and the pandemic caused the unprecedented economic challenges that the society continues to evaluate and ascertain its short and long-term impacts on the society. And operating within an interconnected financial space, the society's continued success hinges on the understanding of the challenges and its ability to implement the right strategies to meet and manage them for continued success. Based on performance, the society successfully contained cost, managed delinquency, increased revenue and profitability, resulting in growth in all key areas assessed. Total assets grew by 6.3%, originated loans by 1.5%, and members' capital by 5%, as well as equity by 24.4%, and returned earnings by 31%, and members' savings by 4.5%, resulting in an impressive growth in the total asset from $43 million to $46 million. The society recorded a surplus of $1.1 million, representing 16.9% growth from the previous year. Whilst there has been sustained and steady growth in the loans portfolio in the last 5 years, for the 2020 period under review, the originated loans portfolio grew by 1.5% from 31.67 million to 32.13 million dollars. In other news, Monstrat's leader of government's business says his administration is putting pressures in place and measures in place aimed at saving the society's social security fund from imminent collapse. A recent actuarial review concluded that on its current trajectory, with no meaningful support, the fund could be exhausted by 2025. Responding to a question posted earlier by the opposition, Honorable Paul Lewis, in the Legislative Assembly on Tuesday, as when the government will make an initial injection, Premier the Honorable Joseph Farrell says that whilst they could not give a timeline for its intervention, the process is well underway.
In addition to other recommendations, the injection of government money into Social Security Fund for investment and other liabilities at this time will go a long way in saving the Social Security Fund so it can be sustainable. How soon will government be prepared to inject money into the fund?
Madam Speaker, I would have spoken about the need for the injection of funds into the Social Security during the financial emission in January. And I've recently sent a formal request to the United Kingdom government requesting capital injections into the fund, as the local budget lacks the necessary fiscal space. I intend to continue to advocate the case for funding for the Social Security Fund with United Kingdom partners. But as we all know, Madam Speaker, this takes time, and no set timeline has been confirmed, but be assured it is my government's top priority.
Also in other news, the UK Health Secretary has countered notions that the pandemic is over, but says that COVID-19 tests will not be compulsory upon returning to the UK after August 16th.
Pandemic, of course, it's not over. It's not over here at home. It's not over abroad. And that's why we remain cautious. Yes, because of the vaccines, we can start to open up and we can see normality in front of us and start going on that road back to normal. And that's why we've been able to move so many rules and regulations domestically. But we still need people to get vaccinated. We still need our rules around self-isolation. We'll be keeping border controls in place, you know, wherever that makes sense. And it's important that we stay cautious. But at the same time, I think we can be optimistic as we look ahead. What we are planning to do on the 16th of August is, as you say, first, if you have been double jabbed, you won't need to self-isolate. But we will be certainly recommending that they get tested, and that will be the advice. It won't be compulsory.
And And that's the morning news. Here's a recap of the headlines. Bus driver Ezram George is seeking financially to pay his legal fees after he was allegedly brutally abused by some police officers in Dominica at a peaceful bus driver's protest. Montserrat's Premier Joseph Farrell says whilst they could not give a timeline for an intervention for the social security, the process was well underway after a recent actuary review concluded that the funds could be exhausted by 2025. And the UK Health Secretary has countered notions that the pandemic is over, but says that COVID-19 tests will not be compulsory upon returning to the UK after August 16th. The news was brought to you for the very kind compliments of Digicel and Margaret Cooperative Credit Union Limited. I've been your presenter, Hassan Robinson.
Of the hour news as it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens, local, regional, and global. Only